Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
My name is Ernest Gaither, Jr. I'm here in the Cook County Jail with only 29 hours to live before I go to the electric chair.
Listen later to the rest of this amazing statement of a murderer who died in the electric chair only a few hours ago. The statement recorded inside the death cell especially for Gangbusters.
And now to Gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has again asked the Honorable Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the notorious Bugs Moran.
Mr. Heck, we know how George Bugs Moran, who for years was Al Capone's only serious rival in the Chicago underworld, finally was sentenced to a term in prison, the first he had served in 20 years, despite numerous crimes accredited to him.
And it was a comparatively short sentence, Don Gardner. Moran was soon out of prison. To all appearances, he was making an effort to go straight. He set himself up as a speculator in oil leases and was operating in the southern Illinois and Indiana boom country. One day, about a year ago, Moran and an associate were seated in the rectory of a church at Vandalia, Illinois, waiting to keep an appointment with the pastor.
Give me a cigarette, Moran.
You don't have to smoke in here.
Well, I don't see no signs.
You don't have to smoke. Just sit there and don't say nothing when he comes in.
Who wants to say something?
Don't open your yap and everything. Okay, here he is. Now get up. Get up, I said.
Hello, Reverend.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Nice to see you again, Reverend.
Yes?
This is my associate, Mr. Virgil Summers.
How you do, Reverend? Virgil is a name with a heritage. Everybody calls me Doc. Sit down.
Thanks.
Well, Reverend, did you talk over our proposition with the elders?
I did, Mr. Moran.
And?
The matter was left undecided until I brought them the answers to a few more questions.
Well, anything they want to know, Reverend. The church has got that 40 acres of land out there that has a good chance of having oil under it. Now, if we bring in oil, why, every Sunday and instead of members of the congregation putting into the contribution box, they'll have to take out just so as you can get rid of the money. That's how rich the church will be.
I doubt, Mr. Moran, that such an extreme measure would be necessary.
Well, I can't for the life of me see what you're hesitating for. Can you, Mr. Summers?
I cannot, Mr. Moran.
Well, as you know, gentlemen, the first consideration is whether under the terms of the late Mr. Baker's will, we can use the property for this purpose. Mr. Baker bequeathed it to us as a cemetery, you know.
Now, Reverend,
elders agree that we may be able to obtain a liberal interpretation of Mr. Baker's generous...
Now we're getting someplace.
But there is one other consideration, Mr. Moran.
Anything, Reverend, anything at all.
It has come to our attention that you are also the notorious Bugs Moran of Chicago.
My name is George Moran. It never was Bugs Moran.
But you are from Chicago.
Well, what difference does it make where I come from or what I was? I'm here with a legitimate business proposition, and that ought to be enough.
I'm afraid, Mr. Moran, the elders would prefer to deal with someone longer established in the oil business.
Come on, Doc. Let's go.
Wait a minute, Moran. Maybe the Reverend wants another kind of business.
Come on.
Okay, I'm coming.
Good day, gentlemen.
So long, Reverend. I'll see you in church.
Dealing with preachers and widows and banks.
And what's the matter with banks, Doc?
Nothing at all, Moran, if we do business with them in the right way. But this oil lease pitch is a waste of time and a waste of money.
Don't tell me what's a waste of money, Doc. As long as we're in the oil lease business, we get a legitimate pursuit. There's nobody can say nothing to us for being around.
Okay, but can't you pick a legitimate pursuit we can make dough at instead of throwing it away?
Who knows, Doc?
Maybe oil will turn up under some of that land we got under lease.
Yeah, maybe someday cops will shoot dollar bills out of their guns instead of bullets, but I ain't waiting around to find out. Angie says...
Oh, Angie, who cares what Angie says?
I care what she says. And you ought to, too. She comes in pretty handy when a job needs a lady's touch.
Let me tell you something, Doc. Keep Angie and the rest of your homework out of my hair. If you want to string along with me, we make a buck. Otherwise, goodbye.
Now, wait a minute, boss. I was just talking.
Now, talk to yourself or Angie. When it comes to business, just listen.
Okay, okay. Don't get excited.
Stick here. I'm going to put in a long-distance call to Dayton.
You well?
Yeah.
Now you're talking. I hope he's all set.
If he's set, you'll know about it.
There's only one thing.
Yeah?
Tell Al if the deal's got any preachers in it, it's out.
I'll be right.
Yes, did you want to see me?
Reverend Thomas?
That's right.
My name's Dixon. I'm a special agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, yes. Sit down. Sit down. Mr. Dixon, you said?
Dixon, yes. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Dixon, I suppose you hear from a lot of old cranks like me.
No one's a crank, Reverend. No one that has something that might turn into a legitimate lead.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Dixon, after thinking the whole thing over and losing no little sleep, I'm sorry that I phoned you.
I'm not, Reverend.
It comes down to this. Bugs Moran, or no Bugs Moran, the man approached me on what was a legitimate enterprise. I had no right to treat him so shabbily. He's probably making every effort to live a better life. And he should be encouraged, especially by a minister of the gospel.
This is Bugs Moran you're talking about?
Bugs Moran, or any other man.
Reverend, we've been following Bugs Moran for weeks, since long before he approached you.
Well?
His oil lease business may be legitimate, but we think it's only a blind.
What, Mr. Dixon?
A blind. Camouflage for something else.
Oh.
I suppose you've read about the several bank robberies in southern Illinois and Missouri and Indiana in the last year.
Read about them? I preached a sermon on the subject. So, you think Moran is the bank robber?
We're watching him, Reverend.
Well?
We haven't been able to prove it yet, but we think we will.
So long, Doc. I'll see you in Dayton. So long, Angie.
Toodaloo, Moran.
You want me to walk to the train with you?
What's the matter? Don't you think he can find the train himself?
You just drive on, Angie. Doc, get this car in shape. Sounds like it hasn't been greased in a year. So long.
Bon voyage.
Give my best to Al.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, get moving.
Where to? One of your oil wells?
Angie, so help me, someday I'm going to twist your nose around your ear.
That.
And lay off Moran, will you? We've been doing okay with him.
You mean he's been doing okay with us? That has been.
Angie.
Bugs Moran, who needs him?
We got him. That's all there is to it. Now shut up about it.
Doc?
Yeah?
What's this date, Kate?
Watch it. You got a red light
there. Okay, I see it. I'm not blind. I ask you a question.
What question?
What gives in Dayton? What did Al come up with?
Ask Moran.
Oh, Doc, I swear I'm going to claw
you. Okay, go ahead. The light's green.
Oh.
We're pulling out for Dayton tonight. You throw your duds in a bag and be ready to go.
But, Doc, I don't
you
want
heard
to
me.
Go to...
We're driving to Dayton. I don't want to hear no more about Moran or oil wells or anything. Just drive.
Special Agent Haynes.
Mr. Haynes, Special Agent Dixon's on long distance from Vandalia, Illinois.
Oh, good. Put him on.
Yes, sir. Hello, Haynes.
What's up, Dixon?
Moran bought a ticket to Dayton, and he's on the train now. I sent Greer along to keep him company.
Okay. We'll take over on this end when the train gets in. What's in Dayton?
I haven't any idea, but it must be a deal.
Oh?
It looks like he's coming alone to avoid suspicion. I think Doc Summers and the woman are getting ready to make the drive there. They're having the car serviced.
Are you going to stay with them?
I'll be right behind them wherever they head. If it's Dayton, I'll see you.
Okay, Dixon. We'll be looking for you.
And keep your fingers crossed, Haynes. Before this is over, I think we'll have Moran where he'll never be able to squeeze his way out again.
So, Don, as the notorious Bugs Moran and his henchmen were about to pull a deal, as they termed it, in Dayton, Ohio, they were unaware that agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation were maintaining a constant surveillance of the mob, hoping to catch them in the act of committing a crime.
Now, back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Mr. Heck, how agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation suspected the deposed Chicago racketeer Bugs Moran as the leader of a gang of bank robbers.
That's right, Don. And Moran had been followed to Dayton, Ohio, in the hope of catching him and his confederates in the act of committing a crime. Later, the criminal Doc Summers and the woman Angie arrived by car from Illinois and rang the bell at the house where Moran was staying.
Fine reception. Guess nobody's home.
Angie, I've been listening to you beef for 300 miles. Now keep it quiet, or I give you really something to beef about.
Ring the bell again, will you? Running all over the country like a bunch of bums.
Angie, I swear.
Here comes somebody.
Okay, then get a smile on your puss.
I'll smile when I want to.
Hello, Al.
Doc, come in, come in. Did you have a good ride?
Yeah, considering.
I had a good ride, too.
That's nice. Moran's in the parlor, Doc. He wants to see you.
Yeah? Where, in here?
Yeah, this is it. Come on, Angie, I'll show you where you're booked.
Well, maybe I got something to say to Moran, too.
If you have, you can say it later. Go on in with Al.
Now, listen.
Come on.
I'm coming. Don't push me around. I'm not your mother.
Hiya, boss.
Hello, Doc.
Nice layout here, Moran.
It'll do. Sit down and pour yourself a drink.
Thanks.
How is the trip?
Well, okay.
Angie?
She's getting to be a pain where it hurts.
Yeah, I heard her just now. But, like you say, Doc, sometimes she comes in handy.
Pour you one, too, boss?
No, I'll stick with it. But you're going to straighten her out, Doc. A dame around's okay with me until she gets to a point where she's liable to queer the caper.
Yeah, what about the caper? What's Al got set?
He's good for 10 grand.
Not bad. Another bank?
No. Tavern owner.
Hey, I quit heisting saloons years ago.
All right, now, wait a minute.
Besides, what saloon has 10 grand?
Will you listen? Okay. It's a pretty good deal.
Oh?
This tavern's right near the Big Frigid Air Plant. Every payday, the workers come in the joint to cash the checks. So every Friday, this tavern owner goes downtown to the bank and gets 10,000. No more, no less. 10,000.
Now it begins to sound like something.
Guy rides back alone from the bank. We nail him on the way.
Good enough.
Now, the thing we gotta do is know that bank inside out, the tavern, and the streets in between.
Sounds like a cinch.
Tell Angie to get ready.
But, Moran,
I know, I know, but I want to show you that tavern and get a better look for myself. We'll take Angie along for the ride.
All the way to Dayton to knock over a tavern guard.
I'm warning you, Angie, you better shut up or you're going back home. And if I send you home, it'll be on your back. Now, remember that.
She'll be all right, Moran.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Saloon bandits.
Okay, now that's enough. This sounds too easy, Moran. Somebody goes to the bank with him. They got to.
Al's been watching him 3 weeks. He goes alone.
Well, then he sure carries a gun. If he don't, he ought to.
What if he does? There'll be enough of us.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I heard enough out of you, Angie. Go on home.
That's a good idea. Why didn't I think of it?
Moran, she better stay.
And suppose I don't want to.
Go on, get out.
Well, good night. I think I'll pick up a guy. Maybe two guys.
Pick up whoever you like.
Those two over there ought to do me fine.
Hey, Angie, you go on home now.
Nighty night. Oh, boys.
Hi.
You too, hello.
Hello.
Got a cigarette?
Sure. Here, help yourself.
Thanks. It's just my brand. Match?
Yeah, sure.
Much obliged.
Don't mention it.
You wouldn't like to buy me a drink, would you?
We'd love to.
I like rye, straight rye.
But we're expecting our wine.
Oh.
Yeah, any minute.
Some other time.
It's a date.
Well, I guess I'll toddle along home.
That's as good a place as any.
Thanks. For the cigarette.
What do you think, Haynes?
It was an accident.
They didn't send her over.
I don't care for that kind of accident. Maybe we're too close to them.
Maybe. But we've got to take our chances. Come on, let's get out of the car.
Here. Nobody comes in my room, Moran, not without an invitation.
I got an invitation. My own.
What do you want?
Here.
What's that?
A bus ticket. Get packed and get out of here.
Now, wait a minute, Moran. Nobody's telling me where to go and when.
I'm telling you right now to get yourself out of here, and you better do it before I let you know why.
Why, you no good hoodlum.
I'm enough for your rotten tongue, Angie. Now get packed.
Doc will have something to say about this.
Doc's already had something to say. He went down and bought the bus ticket.
You rotten heat, I'll claw your eyes out. You can't stop me.
Now, get packed before you get more. Only worse.
Dixon. Nice night, Dixon. Beautiful. A girl got on a bus alone. A ticket at St. Louis. Okay, we'll have her picked up at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's the car, the Buick.
You got a lot of nerve leaving a stolen car parked right in front of the house.
Not so much. It hasn't even been reported stolen yet.
Oh.
The doctor it belongs to is in Chicago at a convention.
Well, it's a cinch they don't want a hot car around too long. Maybe tomorrow's the day.
A month's pay, says it is.
Yeah, I'd make the same bet. The lights are still on in the house.
Moran makes his boys study late.
Just walk on by. I hope we can stick with him tomorrow.
We will. There's four extra men flying in from Cleveland.
Good. We'll need them. I don't think Moran will give up so easily, even when he's through. Now we'll turn left at the next corner.
This job, boys. There's a lot of traffic out, more than we counted on.
It'll be okay, Murray.
Don't worry. Everything I wish is Angie was here to help me spend my part of that guy's $10,000.
Oh, for the love of... Will you stop yapping about Angie?
Okay, okay.
We'll take him at the red light. You ready, Al?
Yep. All set.
Doc?
Am I ready for $10,000?
All right, boys. I'll be following you.
There's the light.
He's stopping in a good place.
Ray, right back up.
Go ahead, but take your time. Do it right.
Let's go, Doc.
Hey, will you? You get that side out.
Yeah.
I'll take over the wheel.
Hey.
Move over, bud. We'll take care of that package.
You'll let him slide over this way.
Okay, okay. Only don't shoot.
Get your head down.
All right.
Lower, or I'll knock it down.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, you got the light.
Get his eyes tight.
No, please don't.
Don't tell us. Now you'll shut up.
Take him up good, pal. The less he sees, the better.
Special Agent Haynes.
This is Dixon. We got a bad break, Haynes. We lost Moran in traffic.
No.
It couldn't be helped. And they may be pulling the job right now.
Well, no reports have come in yet.
Well, look, Haynes. Get out an alarm on that stolen Buick. At least we'll have that to hang on him, if nothing else.
All right. I'll put it on the teletype right away.
Go ahead.
Walk.
Faster.
I can't see.
That's the idea of the tape, so you can't see.
Go ahead.
All right.
How much farther?
Walk, I say.
Get up. Get up, or I'll kick you so you'll really feel it.
That's far enough. Leave him lay there.
That's the boss.
Take him to that tree. But good.
Okay.
Everything going all right?
On schedule, boss. On schedule.
Where's the score?
Right here. Huh? I ain't had time to count it, but it feels like $10,000 if anything ever felt like $10,000.
Well, let's get moving.
Hey, you set? Oh, come on, let's go.
You take the wheel, then.
Yeah. Boy, we got any more like this, Moran?
A few. Just a few. Come on, come on, let's go.
Okay, I'm coming.
All right, get in.
Moran, where to?
Back to the joint.
But, boss, we ought to move.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of hanging around like a couple of ducks for him to shoot at.
Listen to Papa, will you? He knows best.
Wake up. Somebody's tapping on a window. See?
Holy... It's Angie. Well, I'll be...
Get rid of that, Doc.
Yeah, okay. Angie, what...
Go over and open the door, Doc.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know it. If it wasn't, would I be banging on the window?
Why ain't you in St. Louis?
I'm not, that's all. Open the door.
Oh, Moran knew you were here. He cut my head off.
Open the door.
Okay, okay, but be quiet, will you?
Get rid of that, Doc. Get rid of
a plane. Yeah, okay. It ain't one thing with her, it's another. Never anybody. Oh, well. Now, look here, Angie. What's the idea
that... FBI, don't move.
FBI.
Just keep still and you'll be all right.
Listen, guys.
Where's Moran sleeping?
In there.
And Al?
There, but he's not sleeping.
You, take Al. But watch him.
Okay.
You hold this one here. Come on, Haines.
Right.
Okay. All right. Open the door. Easy.
I said sit up.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You...
FBI, Moran, here's your pants. Get them on.
You guys got no right coming here and hearing me. I got a right to my privacy.
This isn't 20 years ago, Moran. Get those pants on or we'll take you in without them.
So, Don, after nearly 25 years, the notorious Bugs Moran, once one of the most feared gangsters in the country, was finally convicted as a common bandit. Moran and his accomplices, Virgil, Doc Summers, and Al Fouts, were all given maximum terms of 25 years, which they are now serving in Ohio State Penitentiary.
Well, thank you, Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, for giving us the inside facts into the amazing case history of George Bugs Moran. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Dayton, Ohio detectives who participated in the investigation and prosecution of this notorious criminal. Now, a special gangbusters presentation.
Late Thursday night, a murderer was led down a dimly lit corridor in the Cook County Jail at Chicago. This murderer had a message to leave behind him, and a special gangbusters crew went into his cell to record that message. Here it is.
My name is Ernest Gaither, Jr. I'm here in the Cook County Jail with only 29 hours to live. Before I go to the electric chair, I was a stick-up man. That's what I was at the age of 16. I was the boss of a gang. I thought I was a big shot to $3,000 in my pocket at all times. But it was a great mistake I made for thinking that. You are not tough when you put a gun in a man's face and take what he has worked hard for. It don't take guts to do that. Any fool can put a gun in his hand and do wrong, but it takes a man with guts to get a job and work for what he wants. I am just so sorry that I couldn't see it this way until it was too late. Although my life will be taken from me, but my soul is going to rest with God in heaven. That will be my next home. And I am so happy that I am ready to go.
A few hours after he made that statement, Ernest Gaither, Jr. paid the supreme penalty of the law.